Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'd have you this morning from your bulletin take out the intro so that we might go ahead and speak it half verse by half verse from Psalm 51, which is the text for our sermon this day. Speak it half verse by half verse. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity,
and cleanse me from my sin.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean.
Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Create in me a clean heart, O God,
and renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence,
and take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation,
and uphold me with a willing spirit.
Together, glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now,
and will be forever. Amen. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity,
and cleanse me from my sin.
Maybe. Eustace didn't want to go to work that day. No, he secretly wandered up the hills that was before him to see what lay beyond. Below, he saw a deep valley and a beautiful lake that reflected the clouds above. Forgetting the work behind and wanting to explore, he made his way down the steep bank. He walked through the trees to the clearing before the lake. Hesitating thumps on the ground shattered the quiet peace and sight. Eustace turned, and there was a dragon staggering toward the lake. With stiffening fear, Eustace looked at the path that he had just come from. And steep incline, too steep for him to scramble up. In the stillness, he watched as the creature stumbled and fell, making the ground quake. Its head sank. It sank to the shore, and the smoke from its nostrils whisked up and disappeared. Eustace went over to the dragon, and he kicked its stomach. It bounced like a rubber ball. It was dead. Soon the darkness came over the valley, and the mist became heavy, and it started to rain. And the cold sank deep into Eustace's skin. The coldness forced him to abandon his fear. As he looked toward the dragon's home and made his way in, as his eyes adjusted, the sparkling darkness, the sparkling in the distance caught his eye. Bending over, he felt there was smooth softness, gold, yes, gold coins in his hands. And he noticed that the room was filled with treasures, and all this he had found for himself. Bracelets, jewels, crowns, cups, and he frolicked in it and splashed in his newfound treasure. Until sleepiness calmed his joy, and he nestled himself in a bed of tiny gold coins. Bright beams caused him to open his heavy eyelids, but he froze in terror as he noticed before him were two wisps of smoke coming before him. Could it be possible? The dragon had a mate? He lifted his right hand, and he noticed there was a claw. Oh dear, there were two. Oh, excuse me. And then he lifted his right finger, and there was a claw on his left. Oh, there were two. With that, he jumped and he ran out the front of the cave, and he heard thumping behind him, and he was ready to jump in the lake. And then he saw a dragon face. He had become the dragon. Sobering thoughts struck him, and he remembered all his dragon-like actions, his dragon-like desire for the goal that was before him, the dragon-like desire not to work as these others did, his dragon-like desire to do his own thing, his dragon-like actions toward his cousins and everyone around him, his dragon-like insistence that he was right. He thought of how he had treated things and the joy of others with dragon-like contempt. Oh, how he mourned over what he had become, a real dragon. How could he ever be in the company of others? How could he be with his friends again? And now he felt alone. How many of you recognize the story? There are a few of you. And if you did not, it is about Eustace in C.S. Lewis's The Voyage of the Dawn Trader, which I have paraphrased, and you'll hear more later. And so, for brevity's sake, I will go ahead and skip now how Eustace, now Eustace the dragon, became once again into the presence of his relatives and his friends, and how then he became a very, very helpful dragon, and how he also mourned his dragon-like condition. Eustace's condition is the condition of many people who wish they were better than their past and their present heart condition. You see, we sang Psalm and spoke Psalm 51 in the intro, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." That, indeed, summarizes Eustace's prayer and the prayer of many of us dragon-like Christians. You see, at the beginning of the service, we confessed that we are by nature sinful and unclean. But the Scriptures assure us the sacrifices of God are pleasing to God are a broken spirit. But you know what? That isn't very fun. We still hurt. And we have treated others with that same hurt, or treated others out of that hurt. You see, we keenly sense that people still think we are dragons, no matter how broken we feel on the inside. Yet, God has given us a new start. First there in the waters of baptism, and then again every service that we hear after we have confessed our sins, the beautiful absolution. We have been declared forgiven in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, how many people look at us on the basis of our past? Many are unsure of the changes of heart and that they will last. You see, on the outside, we look at the same as we always did in our dragon past. And yet we hear the call from God, come follow me. We continue with the story. Aslan had yet led Eustace to the well. Oh, how peaceful and large, enough to calm a troubled, despairing heart. But wait. Before I can get in, I must take off my dragon clothes. But how? Eustace thinks, you mean I can gnaw them off? And so Eustace goes ahead and starts gnawing. And there, drops his dragon skin, and there, new, soft, but dragon skin. And so he gnaws again and again, and each time the skin falls off. But each time, it is still dragon skin. Aslan says, I am the only one who can remove that dragon skin. And so Eustace lays flat on the ground, and Aslan takes his claw and from top to bottom cuts the dragon skin. And now he hears, Eustace, young man, get up. And Eustace looks behind, and there it is, his dragon skin. And as he looks into the well, he sees his human face again. Alcoholics Anonymous knows this all very well. A person can go ahead and stop drinking, but they are still a dry drunk. A person's life is still controlled by the desire and the past. Life hasn't changed much, and there's little comfort for those who say, at least they're not drinking. And other groups deal with life's symptomatic dragon problems. Sexaholics Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, FPU, Financial Peace University. Whatever the problem, there is an aspect of recognizing that there is something more that is really, really wrong. And it is beyond our control. God has declared from ancient times, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 6, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and every inclination of his thoughts of his heart, only evil all the time. Oh, we want change. Others want us to change. But like Eustace, we're still a dragon. And we find ourselves helpless. We are helpless to make the real change. Oh, some days we would just like to rip our lives apart by the seams, wishing that we did not ever exist. Even to go so far as to deal ourselves a deadly blow. But we know it will not help, because God must work the change. We must trust that God will work the change in this dragon heart and our dragon lives. It's the only way it is going to work. Trust, faith, belief in His Word. Trust God in the Word in that baptismal font. Trust God in His Word of forgiveness, of absolution. Trust God's Word in His creation of bread and wine, where He says, "This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." And even though we sense our old dragon skin, we will live by faith and not by sight, for God has spoken, and it is true. You heard it this morning, Ephesians chapter 6. To put on the whole armor of God, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Be clothed with the armor of God, Paul writes. And in Deuteronomy 4, he commands us to take care lest we keep our soul diligently and lest we forget the things that our eyes have seen and they depart from our hearts. Make them known to our children's children. Living the Christian life is trusting that God will do all the things that He has said. Living the Christian life is trust in this Word, even if today we live in our old dragon-like skin. In baptism, in confession, in Holy Communion, we are assured that our present life is not the conclusion, for the day is coming when we'll finally leave our dragon skin and our sinful heart condition. For in Christ, we are confident of our full body change, assured by the resurrection. So helpless of ourselves, but in Christ, we are not without help. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.